And I get nervous at it. Dad.
Of what they think you're like, but I've heard tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone.
You're a good, good father to you all. To you are, to you are, and I'm loved by you. To I am, to I am, to I am.
I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know that we're all searching for answers. And you know just what we need before we say a word.
You're a good, good father. To you are, to you are, to you are. I'm loved by you. To I am, to I am, to I am.
Because you are perfect in all.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us.
You're a good,
good father. To you are, to you are, to you are. I'm loved by you. To I am, to I am, to I am.
Notice she didn't have any words. She just I don't understand that. I can't do that, but anyway. I need four ushers.
We're gonna worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Thank you. Rebecca.
All right, I'm gonna ask all of the dads, if you can, if you're able, anybody in here who is a dad, I want you to stand. We're going to see who the dad is here today that has the most children. So I want all dads to stand. Everybody who's a dad. All right. Anybody that has three, anybody less than three, you need to sit down. Okay. Less than four. Anybody have five? Okay, so we had three. We had three that had four. Huh? Has. Yeah. Four. All right. Well, it doesn't look like it hurt you too bad. Your face doesn't show, like, you know. None of you look older than 75 or 80. The scars are all covered. Okay. All right. All right. We're gonna ask Pastor Rob if he would come bring the message. Pastor Aaron, would you ask God's blessing on him?
I'm gonna get him a post. Father, we thank you, Lord, for everything you've done in our lives. Father, we thank you for our children. We thank you for the fathers that are here today. Lord, we pray that you'd help us all to be an example to those that we, Lord, that we raise and those that we're still helping along the way. Father, guide us and direct us. Help us to be a light to you. Lord, be with Pastor Robs and brings a message and warning this morning. Give you words needed.
Good morning. Are we on? Okay. All right. We want to say happy Father's Day to all you dads. Enjoy this day. Enjoy this day. Enjoy your kids. Enjoy your children. Enjoy your family. And if your dad's here, if your dad's around, call him, visit him, tell him you love him, tell him you're praying for him. I want to talk for just a few minutes. Has anybody got anything they want to say? Anybody want to praise the Lord, brag on the Lord, brag on your dad, brag on your father, your heavenly father? Yeah.
That's just who he is.
Amen.
You got a Bible here that'll show you thousands of years of how he's been and how he's treated his children. And every single bit of it, he's a good father.
Yeah.
Every single moment in that thousands of years that he's been around, that for all eternity, that he hasn't been a good father.
Right. Amen.
I'm just thankful for both of those fathers.
Yeah. Amen. Anybody else?
Yeah, I want to thank God for just being here.
Yeah. Bless you, Jim.
Thanks for all the prayers. We fell and like we still fell and get to give it up somewhat.
Yeah.
And then this one here. That's the one I had to exist.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
And I just say, because they're all here, my grandkids eat some of the gospel, don't you know?
Yeah.
And that's just a blessing. That's
absolutely.
I like to see it every week. But, you know, they just cut their lives. That's between them and the Lord.
Right.
That's what they need.
Right.
Everybody's got this little booger right here. But anyway, I just want to thank God, save my soul, get to His bar.
Yeah.
And one day at a time, bless you. Like, thank all those folks that brought in food and stuff. We put on a feed bag every day, and some days I couldn't even sit up. Well, there's so much of it. But anyway, God knows all about it.
Yeah.
The church loves everybody. They don't love everybody. But, you know, God knows my heart. Y'all been such a blessing.
Amen.
I just want everybody to know that. Just keep praying, okay?
Yeah.
Bless our military, guys. But we got, that's what we're able to worship
right.
The freedom.
Right.
And remember, those are still over there.
Yeah.
Hey.
The Lord will. We get all them back from North Korea. Yes.
Yeah. Right.
And He sends a blessing to their family.
Yeah.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
Just remember this prayer.
Amen.
Bless your heart.
Anybody else?
Well, this time last year, we were asking prayer fervently for Stevie's friend, Jacob Newhouse. They left a year ago today for Scout Camp. That's where they left for this morning. And his friend, he was 15, could barely walk. He struggled to get from one class to another at Scout Camp. They had to drive him. But praise God, he's played football this year, and he's walking as well as you and I. So I praise God for that. I pray for him.
Yeah, amen.
And it was a struggle for him to walk, so I praise God for that.
Amen. Absolutely.
I didn't have a father. I was put in a children's home when I was a baby. Pretty close to a baby. But you know what? When I got out, I got the best foster parents.
Yeah.
I've heard of different ones in here adopting babies and things. I said, that did my heart so much good because
right.
My foster parents were great. And you, if you hear people getting good foster parents.
Right.
And I had good ones. And my foster father, he died at my house in New Jersey. But I had great ones, and I just like to thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't have parents, but I got good foster parents.
Yeah.
So I want to thank the Lord for that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Bless Mark.
Bless Mark. Somebody else. Pray and believe. Somebody else. All right, if you would, stand up. Look around you. Shake somebody's hand and tell them, I'm glad you're at church today. All right, now stay standing. If you've got your Bibles, get your Bibles. If they're books, open them to Romans chapter 8. If they're electronic, turn them on to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, if you would stand for the reading of His Word. If you can, if you can't, that's understandable. Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at verse 14, start in verse 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Let us pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your Spirit that's already here, that's already moving, Father. I thank you for the times that we feel in the music, Lord, in the testimonies, Father. I thank you for the times of fellowship, Lord. It's good to see smiling faces at church. God, I love it when we turn around and shake hands and give hugs and just greet each other, Lord. It's just good to see your people having a good time. Father, now as we look into your word, I ask you to help us to draw all of our hearts together, all of our minds together. Help us to focus on you this morning. Lord, if there's one that needs you in any way, call them this morning, draw them this morning, and meet their need this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. You may be seated. I want to talk for just a few minutes, not about the Father. Now, I want to do this. I know Ron already had you stand up, but we'll just do this. If you're a father, raise your hand. If you're a father, raise them high. All right. Somebody give them a high five real quick. Just give them a high five. Somebody beside them, give them a high five. All right, dads, I want to say this to you. All right, you can put them down now. I want to say this to you, dads. Good job. Good job. You're doing great. You're here in church this morning, which is right where we should be. As fathers, as dads, you're not just the spiritual leader of the household. You're the physical leader. So you're physically here this morning. You're spiritually here. Good job. You're doing what you should be. You're setting an example. I'm proud of you. We as the pastors and as the leadership, we're proud of you. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're worshiping with us. We're glad your family's with you. We're praying for those that aren't with you, those that aren't saved. But dads, I just want to tell you this. Good job for being here. That's what God looks for you to do. That's what God wants you to do. And you're doing it. So pat yourself on the back and say, good job, me. You can do that. Go ahead. Do that. You got my permission. Not always in life can we do that, but you got my permission. Good job, me. So if we look here, but I'm not going to talk about you. Now, I'm not going to talk about me. I'm not going to talk about the Father that we are, that we should be. I'm going to talk about the Father that we have. I'm going to talk about the Father that we have in common. I'm going to talk about the Father that if you don't have, you can have, because he's available. It says right here, and we look in verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. 15 says, you receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We cry, Daddy, Daddy. We can come to him personally. We can come to him on a personal basis. We don't have to come to him. He's not my boss, though he is my boss. But he's more than my boss. You see, he's not just someone way out there. He's not like the old gray-haired man sitting on a throne way yonder in heaven somewhere. No, what the Bible says, when you give your life to him, that he makes you his child. He moves inside you. He gets inside and he says, now, you're not servants. You're not just friends. We're not just acquaintances. He says, now, you're one of my children. He says, now, you're mine. You're the brother of Jesus. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. You're one of the children. He's your father. He. You can cry unto him when you need him. I want to look at just a few things. Look at a few things that he is as a father. And dad's got, if you want to look at this as what you and I should do, you can. But I'm talking about him. Why? Because I want everybody here to get this Father's Day message. It's not just for me as a father. It's for you as a child. It's for you as a child of God, a child of the King, a child of the Most High. And I want to look at just a couple of things that as a father, what God is to us and what God does for us. First off, he is our provider. You know, Abraham, when Abraham was up on the mountain and he was going to sacrifice his son, he knew that God was going to not have him sacrifice his son out of faith. He knew it wasn't going to go that route. He knew in faith that it wasn't going to happen. He knew in faith, so he said, God will provide. You know, Isaac says, where is the sacrifice? Abraham says, don't worry, son. I've already told you, you and I are leaving this mountain alive and walking down. God will provide. He called him at that point Jehovah Jireh, my provider, and he provided. God will provide for you, and God will provide for me, oftentimes in ways that we don't even know, in ways that we can't even tell. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says in 1 Timothy that if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he is worse than an infidel. That means we should be out there providing for our family. We, because God And what God says is this. He says, I don't tell you to do anything that I don't expect you to do, that I won't help you do. But more than that, I don't tell you to do anything that I don't already do. And I do it before you, and I do it better than you. But when I do it and I help you. So he says, the one that doesn't provide for his own family, the one that doesn't provide especially for his own house, he's worse than an infidel. And God says, I will not be an infidel. He says, I expect you, because I do it also, I'm going to provide for whatever you need. Any need you have, he says, I will provide. I'll provide whatever. Now, that's what I like. We can't figure out sometimes how God is going to provide. It's like one day the Bible says that Jesus was entering into the city of Nain. And he walked into the gate, the Bible says, along the street came a funeral procession. Now, let me tell you something. Whenever you meet Jesus and you are dead, you'll be alive. Whenever you come in contact with Jesus and you are dead, you're going to leave alive. Now, I don't mean physically, I mean spiritually. When you come to church, and I mean sometimes church, when we're saved and we're in the middle of the fight and we're in the middle of the battle and we're worn out and we're tired and the devil's got us beat down and we just feel like we're drained, like we're dead. The Bible says when you come in contact with Jesus, when you get in with Jesus and you come to church and Jesus passes by, the Bible says he quickens the spirit. So he gives you that energy. He gives you that life. He gives you that revival that you need. He brings you back and says, now, let's get up and go some more. The Bible says here that as Jesus stepped through the gate, that a funeral procession came by. And I like what Jesus did. You know what we need? We need to have the boldness of Christ. We need to have the boldness of Christ. Jesus, the Bible says, told him, ho, stop, right here. It says he just stopped him on the spot, right at the gate. Now, I think of it like this. I'm in that funeral procession. Now, when we see a funeral going by, we see the cars going by with their lights on and the flags. What do? We pull over. Most of the time, we pull over, right? Out of respect. And I think like this. If I'm in that funeral procession and I'm carrying that coffin and this man steps out and hollers for us to stop, I'm thinking, who is this guy? And what does he think he's doing? Don't he know the respectful thing is to step back and drop your head and let me pass on by? Because we've got a dead person here. Be respectful. But you know what? Jesus was being respectful because he knew what was about to happen. It's just the thing about God. When God tells you and me to do something, even though it doesn't seem right, it may seem weird, it might seem crazy, it might seem non-normal, do it anyway. Why? Because we don't know what God is about to do. We don't know what's about to happen. So Jesus says to them, stop right here. Stop. I've got something to do. I'm here for a reason. I'm not just here by happenstance. It's not a coincidence. Listen, church, God does nothing and is nowhere by happenstance. He didn't just happen to be there. He was there. He could have entered any other gate. He could have went another way into the city. But the Bible says he went through that gate. Why? Because a dead boy, and it was more than just a dead boy. We'll get there in just a minute. But Jesus tells him, he says, stop right here. Stop. And the Bible says that he looked around. He looked at them all. He saw their sorrow. He saw their sadness. He saw them weeping. He saw them grieving. But you know, the Bible says, when he looked on the mother and he saw her. You see, Jesus sees you where you're at. Jesus sees you where you're at. And Jesus feels how you feel. The Bible says that Jesus saw and looked on her and said he had compassion. And he said to her, weep not. Now listen, you put yourself in that place. You're here carrying your dead son. All right, now the Bible says it wasn't just any dead son. It was her only dead son. right? No other children. And she was a widow. This was the only son of a widow woman. So she already lost her husband, and now she lost her only son. So Jesus tells her, looks at her, and he says, "Woman, weep not." Now, why in the world, and put yourself in her shoes, why in the world would I not weep? I've already lost my husband. I'm carrying my dead son to put him in the ground. This is a sad day. But you know what? She doesn't know what Jesus is about to do. And that's a good thing for me and you. Because when Jesus speaks and Jesus asks, we're not sure what he's going to do. Just do what he says. So the Bible says he looked at her and he had compassion. And he walked over. Because see, Jesus will come to you. The Bible says Jesus walked over to the coffin. Because the boy sure couldn't walk over to him, right? He was dead. So Jesus walks over. The Bible says he walks over to the coffin. And he puts his hand, he touches the bier, the coffin. Why? Because Jesus will touch you when you need his touch. When you need the touch of God, he's ready to give you what you need. He's ready to lay the hand on you so you can feel that God. You know, a lot of times when we're praying with people, we're praying with kids, we're praying with adults, because by the way, this altar isn't just to get saved at. In case you're wondering why we keep it here, it's not just to get saved at. It's for me as a Christian to use when I need Jesus. And I need Jesus, Al. I need him every day. It's for us to use. So when we pray, a lot of times, I just ask God. I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what you're praying for. I just ask God, God, be real to them and touch them. I just want them to feel a touch of God. Let them know that right now as they pray that you hear them. Just touch them in the spirit. Let them feel you. Be real to them. So Jesus walks over and he touches the coffin and he speaks to the boy and he says, "Young man, arise." That's all he said. "Young man, arise." And the Bible says the young man sat up and started to speak. He sat up and started to speak. In that moment, God was providing. You see, the thing about this situation is she lost her husband. Now, this is her only son. Who is it that takes care in Bible days, in this time, of the family? It's the oldest male, whether it's the father. But when the father dies, it's the oldest son. So the oldest son is the one that takes care, earns the wages, earns the livelihood. He's the one that prepares and provides for the family. So at this time, she had now lost her provision. Her livelihood was gone. So what Jesus did when he told that boy, "Get up, you can't be dead. Your mama needs you. Your mama needs you, boy, get up." What he did, he provided a couple of different things, right? He provided for that boy a new life. He provided for that boy. Think about it. He provided a second chance. Now let me ask you a question. If you got a second chance like that, how would you live your life? How would I live my life if I got that kind of second chance? God provides you a second chance when he gave you new life. When you got down and you asked him to forgive you, the Bible says you and I were dead in trespasses and sins. He gave us new life. We were buried with Jesus and brought back to life with Jesus. He says, now you're a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus, now created unto good works. Now that we have this second chance, what are we going to do with it? Well, I think it like this. The boy got up and he went to work. Why? Because that's what you did. You provided for your family. So he provided the boy a new chance in life, a second chance in life. But he provided for the mom and the family. He provided giving them their livelihood back. Why? Because this is where I imagine she was walking down the road thinking, what am I going to do now? What's going to happen now? How am I going to take care of my kids now? I can't get out there and work. It's not what we do. It's not what happens. It's not what goes on. But listen, Jesus said, don't you worry about it, mama. I've got you taken care of. I've got you prepared. I'm providing for you in ways that you can't imagine. I don't think for a minute that as she walked down that street carrying her son, that her thought was, he's going to be back alive in a minute. That's what I'm going to be taken care of. No. But you know what? Jesus surprised her. That's what Jesus does. Jesus surprises me and surprises you in life daily by giving us those blessings. I think about when they were in Egyptian bondage. Think about this for a minute. Talking about God providing his provision. The Bible says that the Israelites had been slaves to the Egyptians for hundreds of years. And God said, all right, now it's time to get you out of here. Now it's time to get you going. Time to get you out of this country, away from the bondage, away from these slave owners. Time to get you prepared for. Now what happened? God told them like this. God said, Moses, tell all the people to go to their Egyptian neighbors and ask them if they can borrow their jewelry, their silver and their gold. Now think about that for just a minute. God says, I want you slaves to go to your slave owners and tell them I need to borrow from you your silver earrings and your gold earrings. That's what we need. So Moses tells him, he says, God said, I don't know why God said, but he said, he's just crazy sometimes, I guess. He knows what he's doing, though. He said, you go to your neighbors and you ask them to borrow their silver and their gold. The Bible says it like this. They went and they asked their neighbors about their silver and their gold, and they gave them all their silver, and they gave them all their gold, and they gave them all their raiment, gave them all their clothes. What God did was provided for the children of Israel because they were about to walk away from what was given them, what was providing for them. Their slave owners were providing for them, but they were getting ready to go away from that into the wilderness, into the desert. So God provided for them, giving them all the money they needed and all the clothes they needed from the ones that owned them, from the ones that were their neighbors that hated them. God said, go ask. And God, the Bible says this, that God gave favor to the Israelites with the Egyptians. You see what God said he will do for you in this life when you walk with God, and when you talk with God, and when you live for God, and when you obey God, and when you do what he says, simply that. He said, you will have favor with God, and you will have favor with man. In your school, in your job, in your life, you will have favor with God, you will have favor with man. He said, that's a promise I give you. That's one of the promises in his word. If you'll walk with me and talk with me, I will give you favor. See, God provided for them out of the hands of the ones who hated them. God provided for them out of the hands of the ones who owned them. Now, they get out in the wilderness and they're walking around. Bible says it's hot, it's a desert, it's a wilderness, it's heat, it's just dry. And the Bible says that they got thirsty one day. You can read this in the Exodus, I think 17 maybe. Exodus tells us this. It's what Exodus says. Now, the Bible says that they were thirsty, and they got mad at Moses. They said, what, did he bring us out here to die? Did he just bring us out here to die of thirst? We were better off back there as slaves. At least we had a cup of water. Well, they couldn't find Tyler Mountain at this time. They hadn't been, you know, made yet, right? I mean, there wasn't Tyler Mountain, and there wasn't, you know, any other mountains up there. They were in the desert, right? The Bible says God said this. Moses actually went to God and he said it like this. Lord, they're crybabies. I'm sorry. Is that us sometimes? God, it's not fair. God, it's not fair. It's not fair that person over there is doing better than me. I walk with you. I talk with you. I live for you. And I look across the street and they're better off than I am. They don't even grace the doors of the church, much less be there 3 times a week and more if you have a revival. Heaven forbid you'd have a revival and want me to be there. They won't be there. God, they're not. But here, they're better off than me, God. I don't like what's happening in my life. God, really, I don't understand what God, Moses says. They're crybabies, God. And not only are that, they're about to stone me. He said, they're about to stone me. Now, what, pastors, what are we going to do when they get to such a place that they want to stone us? You'll never get like that, right? This is what God said. God said, yeah, you know what? Just go to the rock. When you got a need, just go to the rock. That's all you got to do. Where should I go but to the rock? Go to the rock of my salvation. Go to the rock that the builders rejected. Go to the rock that's the cornerstone. Go to the rock that will not shake, will not move, and will not crumble. Just go to Jesus. God said, all right, they need water. We'll give them water. And this is in Exodus 17, I think. And it's also in Numbers, maybe 11. It happens 2 different times. And one time God says, Moses, hit the rock with your rod. And the Bible says that he hit the rock and God provided water out of the rock in abundance to that 1 million people could drink all that they wanted out of the rock. Now the Bible says that in Numbers, God said it like this, just speak to the rock. Just speak to it. Let me show them. This is what he said. Let me show them how powerful I am. That they won't give no credit to that rod you're holding. Rather, they'll know because you don't touch it, they'll know that it's me that does it. Now, the Bible says that Moses was mad because they were crying again, and he hit the rock. And God said, Moses, I just wanted you to give me glory. Now, you didn't do it. That's why you lost Canaan land, brother. That's why you didn't make the walk into the promised land. You know, God did, though, something kind of cruel, but I don't. It's God. You take it up with God. He showed Canaan land to Moses. The Bible says he took him up on the mountain and said, look at there, buddy. That's what you lost. You know what's going to happen, I think, if we don't give our heart to Jesus? I think when we stand before him in judgment, I think he's going to be right at the gate, right at the gate where you walk into the city, you walk into heaven, and those that don't give their life, I think Jesus is going to go, check that out. You could have had it, but you won't set foot in it. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you, and off to hell. Don't be that person that just gets to see it. Because you know Moses got to step in Canaan land eventually, right? You know, Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus, there was Moses and Elijah right there with him. Moses did get to set foot in it. But if you go to hell, you'll never set foot in heaven. If my friends go to hell, they'll never set foot in heaven. If my family goes to hell, they'll never set foot in heaven. God provided heaven for you, but that's in a few minutes. But God provided for them to drink out of a rock when whoever would have thought of that? If it's time to get a drink of water, where do you go? To a rock or a creek? If you're out in the woods. Creek. You know, when we were young, I think back and I think, man, how God protected me. There was a creek we used to play in. And we'd get thirsty. Yeah, I know. It's you think about it. We'd drink right out of that creek. Yeah. Now I think, what was going in that creek up above? You know, out in the country, what people put in the creek, right? Runs down out of the house. I think, holy cow, God really was watching over me. He really did love me and all my friends. Because we'd drink out of that creek, and I mean, I probably wouldn't put my foot in that creek today. You know, but that back then, it sure did taste good. God bless that water as I drink it. Stop all that stuff right there until I get my drink and then let it on by, right? God provides. He loves you and me. He's a provider. What else is he? He also protects you and me. You know, the Bible says, Paul says it like this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is not a physical fight that we're in, but we're in a fight daily. Every morning, every afternoon, every evening, every night, we fight a fight. Paul says it like this. Fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight of faith. It's a spiritual battle. It's one that you and I fight for me and myself and for me and my friends and for me and my family. He says it's not flesh and blood, but it's principalities and its powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. It's not about physical. It's not about you and me and my neighbor, me and my coworker. It's about me and God and the devil and his demons. And every day they're out to get you, and every day they're out to get me, and they just want to drag you down. The Bible says that we fight that fight whether we like it or not. And that's why God give you and give me his whole armor. Head to toe covers you up from the helmet to the feet to the shield to the sword. He's got you prepared. But if you'll notice, in Exodus, Moses said it like this. He got them all ready to go. And he said, now you stand still and watch God fight your fight. You stand still, Israel, and watch God fight for you. This is what Paul said. He said he'd give you the whole armor of God, head to toe. And he said, now, listen how this armor works. Paul said, now, having done all that you can do, having put it on, put your head, your helmet, your chest, your loins, your feet, put it all on. He said, now, don't you dare fight. Now you stand. He said, having done all, stand. You let God fight. You see, it's a battle, but it's a battle I can't win. It's a battle that if I go at it myself, if I go at this thing to fight on my own, that people in this world are going to lose. I'm going to lose. My friends are going to lose. Listen, people in this world, you know, when you look at this world, how good do you think it is? Or would it be better to ask, when you look at this world, how bad do you think it is? But you know, it's not anything that's physical. It's not anything that's natural. It's not anything that's human. It's not anything like that that makes them bad. They're not bad in this world because they're bad physically. They're not bad in this world because they're bad carnally. They're not bad because they're bad naturally or humanistically. It's bad because they're bad spiritually. It's bad because there's a fight and there's a side to be on, and there's a fight and there's a side to be against. And too many in this world are not clinging to the side that we need to, not clinging to the side that's going to win. You see, this fight is not fit. It's like one day Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus got in a boat and went to the other side. Right on the other side was the land of the Gadarenes. Said as Jesus got out of the ship, immediately there came one out of the tombs that met him. Immediately out of that ship, one of the tombs that met him. And said he came up to Jesus and he cried, are you here to torment me now? Is it my time really? He said, came up and worshiped him. And the Bible says that this man had many demons inside him. Somewhere along life's way, this guy let demons in. You say, what do you mean? You and I give place to the devil, he takes more space. We give him an inch, he takes a mile. You see, there are things in this life. I'm going to tell you one way. Now, this is just me. I highly recommend you not do this to anybody, all right? This is one way that the devil can move in, all right? When I was in high school, we had this little game called Ouija. You know what I'm talking about? A Ouija board. Now, it's made by Parker Brothers. How can that be bad? Why? Because in that game, you're calling on spirits. And we played with it one night. Now, you can believe it or not, but I'm going to tell you what. If I'm lying, I'm dying. God, strike me down right here. We played with that game one night, and there was this little person on the other side of that thing. Our hands were on there. And I asked that board a question that only I knew, and I knew that person didn't have a clue. And it answered me right. And I didn't move it. They didn't know it. At that point, my hands came off of it. Ain't they touching that no more. But you know what I did? I gave a space to the devil. I said, here you go, devil, just come on in. I'm going to play with your demons here. Let's do it. We do things like that. We do things like we take drinks, we go places, we watch things, we give place to the devil. And that opens up space to the devil. And he can't come across the blood unless I ask him. Now, if I ask him, he'll come on in. It's kind of like that. There was a movie a long time ago about vampires. He couldn't enter the house, right? Unless he was invited. And he never did until he got invited. But when he got invited, he could come in freely. That's what we do. We do things we shouldn't. We give place to the devil. We ask him. We don't think of it like that, but we do. We ask him in. But it's kind of like this man in the gathering. Somewhere along life's way, he invited the devil to come on in so much that he had legions. The Bible says 2,000 probably, because later he jumped into 2,000 swine, that even the pigs had enough sense to not keep the devils, so they killed themselves. But the Bible says it like this, that physically they tried to confine him and tried to bind him, and they put fetters and chains around him. And he looked at him and he laughed, and he broke the fetters and he broke the chains, and he would run through the tombs at night screaming and crying out. He would cut himself. Physically, they couldn't touch him. They couldn't bother him. They couldn't help him. They tried. But it's not a physical battle that we're in. This thing is a spiritual battle. Jesus says to the demons, go out of him. And the Bible says they went out of him. And he was in his right mind after that. You see, you can't do this thing physically. You can't do this thing on your own. We can't do this thing without the help of the Lord, because it's not a physical battle. It's not a physical fight. You see, this is just a temporary house. You can't see the real me. You know, I've told you what the real me looks like. He's 6'6", 250, solid muscle. He's scrunched down a little bit right now. He's just inside this. But when God says, come on up, you're going to see him come out. And you're like, holy cow, that's what Rob really looks like? Why didn't it transform through? I don't know. Because I'm too lazy, that's why. That's just honest. I'm just too lazy. It takes work to look like that, solid muscle. You solid muscle people, you got my respect. Yeah, I can't do it. Anyway, so think about this. One time, Jesus puts it like this. One time, the Bible says there was a multitude following the Lord, and one brought their son to Jesus and said, look, Jesus, he's got an evil spirit in him, and we can't do nothing about him. See, we've tied him up, and it doesn't matter. He breaks loose, and the spirit throws him around on the ground, and he foams at the mouth, and we can't control him. And not only that, Jesus, we went to your disciples, and we said, cast him out, and they couldn't do it. Your disciples tried, and they couldn't do it. So Jesus says to the boy, he says, look, demons, go, and they went. And the disciples come back and they say, look, why can you cast them out and we can't? Jesus says it like this. Now, I'm going to change it around a little bit, but I'm going to tell you what he's saying, all right? Jesus said it like this, because you think you can on your own. Because you're trying on your own abilities. Because you're trying to do it so you would get the glory. You're trying to do it because you think, because you've done it. No, Jesus said this kind goes out by prayer and fasting only. In other words, you've got to be spiritually right to fight this kind. And you can't do it unless you're spiritually right. And listen, if you ain't spiritually right, this battle you're in, you're going to lose. It takes you and it takes Jesus together, because this thing is spiritual, not physical. So those of us who are physically muscular, that's great. But when it comes to the devil, he's powerful, more so than us. So we've got to go with Jesus. So he protects us. He provides for us. He's also our healer. He's our healer. You know, Isaiah puts it like this. He said, by his stripes, we are healed. We are healed. Peter said it like this. By his stripes, ye were healed. You see, Isaiah knew that it hadn't happened yet, but he knew that he's very present. The psalm says he's a present help in time. Psalm said, God says it like this to Moses. He says, tell them, I am has sent you. Not I'm going to be, not I used to be, not I might be, but I am. I am right now. I am very present. He said, it happened 2,000 years ago for you, so back then you got your healing. You were healed when Jesus went to the cross, but today you are healed if it happens. So the Bible says this in Psalms, that blessed be the Lord who heals us of all our diseases. God says, I come to save you. I come to make you new. I come to heal you. I love you. And I think about this. There's so many times that in this life we get something wrong with us, and we wonder and we question and we don't know, and we wonder and we pray and we don't get that healing. Why? Is there enough faith in me? Is there enough belief in me? Because God said, if you pray and you believe, you will have it. Now, sometimes we were in service last night with Joyce Pitt. We were down at the Spirit service on Saturday night, and Joyce was testifying about her husband. She said, I know this, God's going to heal him soon. Now, it might not be here. It might be over there. But he's going to heal him soon. I'm going to tell you this. God can heal if you're sick. God can heal if there's something wrong with you. God can heal if you've got a disease. And he does big and he does little. You see, there's nothing big with God. And there's nothing little with God. I thought about this. How about big? How about Lazarus? Lazarus, how long have you been dead? 4 days he's been dead, the Bible says. Called for Jesus. Jesus said, I've got something else to do. I'll be there in a minute. And 4 days later, Jesus shows up. He's been dead 4 days. And they say, look, Jesus, he already stinks. That's just, he just stinks by now. Jesus says, that's all right, because I'm the one that gives life and takes stench away. I'm the one that takes it away. So 4 days dead, Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus comes out. He can heal you of death. He's bigger than death, stronger than death. Well, I'm not dead. I've just got something wrong. I mean, there might be, I've got some kind of disease. I got something that is not as big as this. All right, how about this? There was a guy one time who was paralyzed. And the Bible says he had four good buddies, four good friends. And they carried him to the top of this house because Jesus was in the house and there was a crowd around him. And he was preaching, he was teaching, he was healing. So they took this guy who was paralyzed to the top of the house, lowered him down to Jesus. Jesus says, look, what do you want me to do? He said, I just want to walk. Jesus says, get up, take up your bed and walk. Why? Because I'm more powerful than paralysis. You got something smaller than death, how about paralysis? Jesus works on that too. What if you don't have nothing that big? Well, the Bible says that Jesus went into the house one day with Peter, and there sat his mother-in-law, and she had a fever. Just had a fever. Nothing big. Bible says Jesus reached out and touched her. The fever left her. Jesus can heal you and me of anything, from the fever to death. That's what I'm talking about. That's the God that I'm serving. That's the God that I walk with. That's the God that I talk with. That's the God that says, I will be your father, the kind of father that will heal you. You know what? Your dad down here, your mom down here loves you and will do anything for you, but they can't heal you sometimes, of which God can heal you. And if we believe. Now listen, it's not just physical though. This thing is spiritual, right? Like about in the garden. God said, here's all the trees of the garden. But if there's one tree that you can't eat from, just one. Think about it. You can have all of them, just one you can't. If you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. Now they ate and they didn't die. Why? Because it wasn't physical death he was talking about. It was spiritual death. When we disobey God, when we sin, there starts our spiritual death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. You see, the wages that we work for and earn when we sin is death of our spirit. But through God, we have eternal life. He says, I can heal you of that death even. Not just physical, but I can heal you of the spiritual death. Church, when you and I, we start to go back and we start to fall back and we start to backslide, God says, look, I can bring you right back into good fellowship, right fellowship, right in the middle of my will. I can heal you of the death that you're slowly dying. I can heal you of that. Bring you right back. That's what he said. Not just physical, but spiritual. He's our healer. What else is he? Just a couple things. I'm just about done. Not yet. He's our counselor, right? Because I got to get to the last one. I'll make this quick. He's your counselor. He promised you, I will direct your paths. I will guide your steps. He said, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me. When you got a question, pray. When you got a question, ask. When you got a question, seek. See, we say pray, seek, knock because we want things. Not always. Sometimes you need an answer. You need advice. He says, you seek my advice, you'll find it. You knock for my advice, you'll find it. It'll open up to you. He said, you just come to me when you need advice, when you need leadership, when you need guidance, when you need help in life, when you need to know what to do. He says, you come to me just like your dad's ready to give you advice on anything down here that we can, and it's the best advice we've got. It ain't always right because we ain't God. But when you go to God and you ask his advice and you don't lean on my own knowledge and my own wisdom and my own understanding, I lean on him, you always get the right advice. Why? Because he loves you and he wants to give you the right, even when it seems crazy, like something you shouldn't be doing. Even when it seems like it shouldn't be. Now I'm going to give you advice here. Now this one, I've got two more, so this is after this one, you can hop up here. And I couldn't figure out what to title this one. But here's what I want to tell you. And this is the only advice, Dad, that I'm going to give you as a dad to a dad. But not as a dad to a dad. I'm going to give it to you as a son to a dad. Okay? This is not coming from me as their dad. This is coming from me as the son of my dad. All right? So you can read a book and it might disagree with me. That's fine. I don't like your book. You can read it, have a theory, and it might disagree with me. It's fine. I don't like your theory. I don't mean that mean. I'm just saying. I'm telling you real life experience. Okay? And I had the same conversation this week with another gentleman. Dad, show up. Just show up. Be there. God will always be there. God will be there all the time. Dad, be there for your kids. I mean, as much as you can be there, be there. If they've got something going on and you can be there, be there. Now, you might not like this. I mean, you might be a workaholic and go to work more than maybe you should. And I don't mean step on your toes. Yeah, I do. Because you need this. Because listen, there's a thing called quality time. And then there's a thing called quantity time. And let me tell you this, from the child's perspective and a child's point of view, when I look up the dictionary, the word quality time, here is what the definition is. Quantity time. All right? Quantity equals quality. Your children need you there to be there. And if you're not there, they know you're not there. I was talking with this guy this week, and he said, you know what, Rob? He said, my dad wasn't around very often. He said, I remember one time I ran a 77-yard touchdown, and just as I spiked the ball, he said, I saw him walking through the gate. And he said, I'm glad he saw the spike, but where was he the rest of the game? Do we remember quality or quantity? Children need quantity. You give them quantity, quality will be there. God will give you quantity and quality. He will always be there for you. Psalm says it like this. He's a very present help. He's right now. He said, I am present with you always. Listen, God's with you when you want him. God's with you when you don't want him. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be with you. I will go all the way with you. Every time you take a step, I'm with you. When you're having fun, I'm with you. When you're not having fun, I'm with you. He said, but you'll know this at the end of your life. Whenever you close your eyes down here and you open your eyes up in front of me, you'll know that I've been there the whole time and I've always been around. Dad, be like God and be there. Show up. That's what children need. That's what they remember, because they want your presence, not your presence. They want your time. God wants your time. God wants you to spend time with him. He's your dad. You're his child. Spend time with him. I asked him last night at church. I said, listen, let me ask you a question. When's the last time, and I asked you this morning, when's the last time you actually spent time with God? Just you and God. Just you. And I don't mean giving him a list. I don't mean saying, God, I need this. God, I want that. God, I need you to do this. God, I want you to do that. God, I need this to happen. I mean, when's the last time that you have just listened to him? Because prayer is a two-way discussion. And it needs to be a lot of times one way, but him to us, not me to him. When's the last time we've actually spent time with Jesus, just listening to Jesus? Why, he will show up. God will be there. He's always there. I've got one more. Come on up. We're about done. On this Father's Day, what is the best thing that Father done for us? What is the best thing our Heavenly Father did? He saved you. He gave you the best present of your life. He gave you heaven. You see, the Bible says that he loved you so much that he laid his life down. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friend. And the very next verse, Jesus said, you are my friend. And he went on to spread his arms out and to put his feet down and let him kneel. And he gave his life for you. Now, he gave his life for all, but he gave his life for you because he loves you, wants to be your dad, and wants to be a good dad. That's the kind of father he is. That you needed him to die, he was willing to die. And I said it like this. All right? Let me give you just one example. And all right, let's just do it like this. How much do you love each other? How much does one love one? How much do I love you? How much do I love my family? If a guy come through the back door and had one bullet and a gun, and he come up to me and he said, "Preacher," he said, "somebody has to die. It has to be you, or it has to be that guy sitting right there, because I ain't involving you all." All right? It has to be you, or it has to be this guy sitting right here. Listen, if it was me or this front row over here, I'm dead. I love them more than anything in this world. If he says it's you or one of those, I say there ain't no choice. Shoot me now. But listen, if he says it's me or this guy, I'm going to say, "Mr. Gunman, hold on just a second. I got to ask him something." And I'm going to go to this guy and I'm going to whisper in his ear, "Do you know Jesus?" He's going to go, "Why?" I'm going to say, "Because you're about to see Jesus." Because I ain't dying for him. Ain't no way. Them I will. I don't love him as much as I'm sorry, but I don't love y'all as much as I love these up here. The good thing about God is he loves him as much as them,
yeah,
as much as me, as much as you. He's the Father that died in your place. If you're here this morning and you don't have that Father, you've never asked him into your heart, into your life, to be his child, he's here ready and waiting. This morning, if you are his child, but you need some other part of this, some other part of him, he's here, he's ready, and he's waiting. As we stand and sing, if you need Jesus, come get Jesus.
Page 148, 148. Is your burden heavy as you bear it all alone? Does the road you travel harbor danger yet unknown? Are you growing weary in the struggle of it all? Jesus will help you when on his name you call. He is always there, hearing every prayer, faithful and true, walking by our side. In his love we hide all the day through. When you get discouraged, just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you. Is the life you're living filled with sorrow and despair? Does the future press you with its worry and its care? Are you tired and friendless? Have you almost lost your way? Jesus will help you. Just come to him today. He is always there, hearing every prayer, faithful and true, walking by our side. In his love we hide all the day through. When you get discouraged, just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you.
Just remember, Jesus loves you. Always has, always will, and will be that good, good Father that you need at all times. Anybody have anything?